Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. If you're a new listener, we're on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And I've been ministering this week on a subject I've entitled Perfect in Heart. And why is God dealing with the heart of man? Why has that always been His primary objective, to communicate, to relate to man, which He made in His very own image? We know from the opening books of Genesis that our original parents, if you will, Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. And as a result, just as God said, that they would suffer the results of their disobedience, that if they sinned, death would be the result. And that has been the case of all but two of humanity, Elijah, right, and Enoch. They were no more. God took them, Elijah in a fiery chariot. But the most wonderful of saints has always gone by way of the grave. But thank God, a time is coming when death shall be no more, the graves will be opened, and we which are alive and shall remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's talking about the union of Jesus Christ when He returns for His church. We are going to be forever with Him. And this was God's plan. Eventually, after the millennial reign of Christ on the earth, there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But God has laws, and He has laws that operate the natural universe. Science is spending great efforts and diligence over the centuries to understand the ways of the natural world, the universe. And it is in harmony because of the natural laws that God has placed in existence. For example, the law of gravity, a simple one to understand. Children learn that very quickly when learning to walk, that if they fall, that they will fall to the ground. Rocks obey gravity if they are dropped. And so the universe is in harmony to the natural laws of God, but it is one of God's great challenge that the creatures that He has made in the beginning, the angels, remember, a third of them disobeyed God. They went with Lucifer. And then man, He has given us the ability to choose our free will. There's nothing more important that God gave to man, and also more dangerous, because He allows us to reject Him, as difficult as that may be, because He wants those who will willingly respond to Him. He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want people that are programmed into obedience. He wants obedience and love and fellowship with Him to come out of our own heart's desire to love Him and worship Him. And we can have a perfect heart. Our actions may not measure up, our attitudes, or even our thought life, but we are trying, as David said in Psalm 40. He said, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God, yet Thy law is within my heart." He goes on just a couple of verses and said, "The things you've asked under the old covenant through Moses, sacrifice and offering, well, you commanded that, but you didn't really desire that. You want my heart." And that's what the whole purpose of God's New Testament. He's writing them His law within our hearts. And He delights in those who will willingly and lovingly follow Him. "As for God, His way is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." And of course, our perfect example is found in Jesus. He always did those things that pleased the Father. In fact, He was the only perfect sacrifice that could be found, because He was without sin. The amazing fact that He was the very Son of God, totally, perfectly God, but he was housed in a human body. And he willingly, without sin, he laid down and suffered the penalty of what we should have experienced because of our disobedience. So the opposite, if you will, or the antithesis of obedience is disobedience, rebellion, and sin. And a third of the angels and mankind in general has been very well practiced in sin. We see rebellion. What is that? It's a lack of obedience. It's an attitude of the heart manifested in thoughts, in our actions, in our words. And when you think of the relationship, how does someone just automatically become rebellious? Well, if you follow it a little deeper, it's the consequence of an attitude of the heart and will. It's stubbornness. Rebellion is actually the physical outworking of stubbornness. What is it by definition? It's unreasonably or perversely unyielding in our heart. And it's performed, secondly, or carried on in an unyielding, obstinate, or persistent manner. A third definition is difficult to handle, to manage, or to treat. Like a stubborn infection, if you will, for example, hard to treat. So rebellion is actually a sin or an outward act that springs from an inner attitude of the heart, which is stubbornness. There's a progression, if you will. Stubbornness leads to rebellion, leads to sin, and sin, the consequence, is death. James 1 and 15 talks about this progression, if you will. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, we can all be tempted. Jesus was tested and tempted in the wilderness. Did he sin? No. Just as if we're tested, that doesn't mean we're sinning. We have a choice. We will either refuse it or go with it. And so he goes on to say, when lust hath conceived, in other words, when we kind of adamantly hold on to what we want, to our self-will, well, at that point, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, if allowed to continue, when it is finished, he says, bringeth forth death. But those are very strong words. So, what can we say? Let's go on and look at a passage of scripture found in 1 Samuel. I'm going to be reading from the 15th chapter, and I'll start at verse 22. And just to lay the scenario at this point, God gave specific instructions to the first king of Israel, Saul, by the prophet Samuel, of what he should do. And he basically said, go, in verse 18 of that chapter, the Lord sent thee on a journey, this is Samuel speaking, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, fight against them until they be consumed. Destroy them, everything they have. And then when Samuel comes, he says, why didn't you obey the voice of the Lord? But you did fly upon the spoil, or you know, took the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. This is so characteristic of human nature. Saul basically defends himself. He said, no, I did what God said. He said, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I brought Agag, here's the king of the Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. That wasn't what God said. And then, again, another characteristic of fallen mankind, we shift the blame. But the people, Samuel, see, this was the people. They did that. They took the spoil and sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Can you relate? And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, which of course he had ordained, is that better than obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, let us hear these words, beloved. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, gives me goosebumps, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Well, Saul, King Saul, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And of course, what happens is that God looks after a man after his own heart and finds David. That didn't happen immediately, but it was the will and purpose of the Lord. And so it's interesting, as we read those sobering and harsh and stern words, the language that the Holy Spirit chose to use regarding Saul's sin, it expresses how he feels about rebellion, about stubbornness, and the definite demonic and satanic connotations, because that's exactly, Lucifer said in his heart, I will be like the Most High God. I'll sit on the sides of the north. If it's, you know, here's a created being, although they're much higher than we are, thou hast made man a little lower than the angels. The angels are really above man in terms of wisdom and power and strength. But even with his brilliance, he was the covering cherub. He was right next to the throne of God. He said, I'm going to be like the Most High. He was not content in the beautiful estate that he was in. And so we see that there is definitely a demonic aspect to what happened to King Saul. He is, after all, the accuser of the brethren. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. And, you know, we see in verse 29, and God said, and the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. So, beloved, there's still more to share, and I see my time's flown away. This whole week, the time's just flown so quickly. So I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. If you miss a broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can either send an email if you have a request, prayer request, or you can listen to the broadcast. They're archived there for your convenience. I thank you so much for your prayerful support, and just know that this ministry has continued continuously in daily radio since 1965 because of the faithfulness and obedience of God's people. To God be the glory. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.